very exciting what's happening because people are connecting all over the planet.
Yeah.
And we're all a part of that. And who knows where it's going to all lead? You know, eventually.
It's people are waking up by the thousands. Just last night, I was talking to a gentleman, Vietnam veteran, who had served during the same time that my dad and Dave Corso had served. That's a long story. I don't know if I told you that my dad and Dave served with each other.
And there's like so many synchronicities.
Yeah.
That's completely bizarre. Not only are you connected to Corso and Duncan, but your father is connected to Corso at least. And I mean, that in and of itself is just like, where does this come from? This is so bizarre.
Well, as far as my family, it's absolute bloodline. I mean, I just recently got some information that I have not yet confirmed. But I did get some fairly good information that my grandfather, who died under mysterious causes, no autopsy, no funeral, was a high military or government member in some aspect of Operation Paperclip, who was one of the officials that was assigned in relocating the German Nazi scientists. No, I'm not.
That actually points to why you may have ended up where you did.
And my father and my sister.
Your sister.
But I have no knowledge of if my older brother was at all. I don't think he was, but I do fear that he may be drawn in because of his direct connections with NASA, and he's climbed up the ranks in the scientific field.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was diagnosed with autism as a kid, but his IQ was off the charts, and you know, he is 32 now, and he has a PhD in astronomical physics, nanotechnology. He works at Lamar University. He's the youngest novice curator of the Houston Astronomical Society. He also runs 5 different observatories and rubs elbow with top NASA individuals.
Okay, but I have to say that indicates that he is part of the whole scene.
Yes. I do agree, but he may not know it.
You know, maybe there aren't, you know, maybe he hasn't been manipulated in terms of some of the ways that you have buried memories, etc. But what you're telling me about his background is just unequivocal. He, you know, especially, actually, believe it or not, with autism.
Yes.
Because autism is sort of a marker that they use.
Project 13.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Let's talk about that.
Sure.
That'll be really fascinating.
And I think I don't know if I mentioned you that I have absolute confirmation that my sister has 3 children. The oldest one, Baden, is a contactee.
Uh-huh.
Absolute.
Yeah.
But I can tell you what my sister actually witnessed and saw him do. We can talk about that another time, but
okay.
It is absolutely amazing. I did let Miriam Delicato know, and I told her what my sister had said. And Miriam, of course, said, you know, this child needs to be protected. Be careful who. And then I explained, you know, to my sister what Miriam had said. So,
that's actually a good thing.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be getting my sister in contact with Miriam.
Cool. Very good. I wasn't actually sure how to categorize you. Not specifically a super soldier that I know of, but maybe, and you know what I'm saying? I wanted you to categorize yourself. And
sure.
So why don't you just go ahead, introduce yourself, and basically explain not only who you are, what you're briefly, like your credentials, whatever you
absolutely
want to call that, but then also say why you're coming forward at this time.
Okay. Well, my name is Aaron Egan McCollum. I was born September 6, 1978. And I was in the military. I served in the United States Coast Guard for just roughly 10 years, right at the 10-year mark. And I was involved in many different black op projects all over the world and even many stateside. I had climbed up the ranks very quickly to where I became a team member of a first-of-its-kind unit in the Coast Guard, which is known publicly, but a lot of the operations they do are not well-known. If I had to classify myself, it would be that I'm third generation project talent, and because of the bloodline I came from, I was given a lot of responsibility and saw a lot of things, and even since that time have been called back for specific operations. Okay. I mean, to really explain who I am, it would obviously would be good for the more extended interview to really explain that. But, obviously I'm coming out today for the first time really publicly to explain about information that I have through absolute reliable contacts, which I cannot name for their safety, but involving what's going on in the Gulf of Aden in Yemen. Specifically, what the global leader doing and the Stargate, which is absolutely real. It's not fantasy, which, like Carrie, you and I have talked about many times, things you see in movies are put there as a ruse to automatically give this label of fantasy, science fiction, so people will not dig in anymore and they'll live in their little world of it's make-believe.
Okay, that's great. So you were a member of the Coast Guard, but you also ended up not only working in these sort of teams of special ops units, for lack of a better title, but you were the leader. Isn't that true?
Yes, and Project Talent has really two sides. They have the people that never were in the military, civilians, but worked directly in the military, even sometimes wear military uniforms, but never went to boot camp. You know, they have their own side of that. Duncan, for example, Duncan O'Finion, who never really went to boot camp, but, you know, was absolutely Project Talent. Then there are people like me. This is where it gets a little complicated. I did not choose the branch of service. When I was 16, certain individuals, agents, came to me and told me which branch of the military I was going in and when it would happen. So I already knew 2 years before joining. So I was in the military. I got regular military training. But at times when I would be temporarily assigned, it was called TAD, temporary assignment duty, to other units, I wasn't actually doing what was known by my commanding officer or whomever at the time. I was actually increasing my training that I had started when I was very young. So I wore two hats. There was times when I was Petty Officer McCullum, you know, worked my way up to being, you know, a chief engineer on ships and doing special op rescue, drug interdiction, whatever. And then I had the other hat where I was just an agent. No name, no denomination of rank, nothing.
So when you say you're doing that, are you meaning that you, I don't know, they you would not carry any papers of identification on you?
Absolutely not. No, no ID, couldn't even wear a watch, nothing.
Okay. And on those assignments, is that where your sort of buried memories are coming back in regard to those assignments?
Honestly, it's happening on both sides because, as I said, it's kind of complicated, but let me try to explain as best as I can. I did a lot of operations where I wore my Coast Guard hat, and I was, you know, Petty Officer McCullum, but I was actually leading umbrella operations that actually had a black operation happening underneath that I was tied to. So they would have me close to that so that I would be able to infiltrate and do my other job that was assigned to me. So with that, because there was such intertwining of operations, a lot of it is foggy on both sides.
Okay. So let's see, because it's really easy for me to go down this rabbit hole with you and start following, you know, out your personal remembrances. But I think that today's interview, at least for the first part, and let's do this first, let's talk about the Gulf of Aden and why you're specifically coming forward now before we do a more formal interview that has been planned actually for several weeks. And so let's talk about the most crucial stuff that you want to get out there right away. And then we can digress from there, and then we can later decide what to cut in, what to cut out.
Okay. Let me just make this statement. I want to make this perfectly clear. What I'm about to let everyone know is based on actual facts, articles, also contacts, absolute reliable contacts who have contacted me within the past month, overwhelming amount of information, and this is also based directly on operations that I was a part of, that I've regained some memories back from July of 2008 until the beginning of March of 2009. Operations I was a part of absolutely relate directly to what is happening now in the Gulf of Aden. Okay, so what is occurring right now? It's actually been going on for quite a while, but it's just now, for whatever reason, it's leaked out, or they have allowed it to leak out, I should say, that there has been major military ship movement happening in the Gulf of Aden in a specific location where they are actually hundreds of ships right now circling a designated area of open water. We're talking Russian warships, Chinese warships, Japanese warships, Australia, Germany, UK. The list goes on and on. Even designated European Union ships, UN ships, Blackwater, which is now Z, has a ship there right now. If anybody is aware, Japan has not actually had warships leave their area of operation for military type action in decades. Same with China. China is very much about keeping their warships close. So this is huge. On top of it, there is a research company that specifically deals in genetics and DNA. I don't remember the name at this time, but, you know, Carrie, when I get that information to you, you will have that are specifically doing research in alien human DNA research and with the genetics. That is going on at the same time there as well. On top of it, there has been a lot of this. There's a lot of piracy going on there. Well, these pirates, the Somali pirates and all that, it's absolutely false flag operations. The reason they're doing that is to gain fear of, you know, everyone in that area, to keep them away. It's a very good manageable method to keep just regular people, the public, away from that area. Because, you know, what's a better way to invoke fear but piracy and terrorism? That comes to what happened at Fort Hood.
Okay, before we go there, just to clarify, because you, as a member of the Coast Guard, anything that happens on water is obviously something that you're quite well-versed in.
Absolutely.
So we want to talk about the source of your information, and because of that, we also want to talk about some of your sort of skills and augmented skills.
Sure.
Okay, because this is going to factor in, I assume.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is that you're saying that there is genetic engineering going on. What are you talking about? Are you talking about on a ship? In the middle of the water, or where the Stargate is located, because I understand the Stargate is over the body of water.
It is, and there's witness testimony, and there are images of. They're calling it an anomaly, and a huge magnetic field that is occurring right there at that location. They're calling it an anomaly. You know, they're giving it labels, where the water is actually. In a swirling motion, it's actually causing a huge whirlpool effect.
Okay,
and there has been actual sightings, and you can find this online, of where they have seen a part of it actually come up. But that's gone away now as far as the sightings, because they have, I mean, the area of security zone around it is miles and miles and miles.
Okay, but who's in charge of that area?
Well, it's... I'm not quite sure, to be honest, of who exactly is in charge, but I can tell you who I would be not surprised if it's in charge is obviously members of the global elite, the power to be. What I think is who was in charge now, I think is going to change or may have already changed, but I have not yet been able to get confirmation on it. When something like this occurs, is a Stargate something that had not been discovered? Had it been put to rest and there was no interest in it? These are possibilities. But when something like this comes up, certain projects that are still very much happening under the name of Mark Ultra come in and assume command as per direction of certain members of the global elite.
Okay, and when you say Mark Ultra, you're actually saying MK Ultra, but it's a different designation? I don't understand.
Well, Mark, MK is actually used for designation of projects, things. That's just me and my military talk. When in the military, it's actually referred to as Mark Ultra. Like, you have certain flares that you use, like the Mark 134, but you look at it and it says MK-134.
I see.
So that's just me being military. But I'll try to say MK Ultra for...
No, I
tend to start talking using military lingo because I did it for so long.
I understand. Okay, and actually, let's talk about how old you are and how long you spent in the military.
I am 31. And I, by the books, spent just under 10 years in the military. But my involvement has gone on much longer prior and after.
Okay, right. And then, again, to get back to the genetic engineering, you said this is going on in the area, but is it, again, going on, are you saying, under the water?
Yes.
In a base?
Yes.
Okay, so
it is. There is an underwater base there. I have received confirmation on that.
Okay. You're saying that there is an underground base an underwater base in the Gulf of Aden.
Yes.
Okay. And that's where you think the genetic engineering is going on.
Absolutely.
Okay. And
it's the same. They're doing similar things that they've been doing for decades at underground bases all over the place. Specifically, they've been doing specific types of DNA research and engineering in a lot of the underwater bases, like, for example, the one that's in the Caribbean, the one that I was at.
Oh, right. The one that you're having recovered memories about.
Yes.
Okay, very, very fascinating. And you've shown me some drawings, which are really very, very interesting. What is the source of your intel? Is it individual? Is it psychic? Is it on the internet? Is it, I don't know.
It's a little bit of everything. And okay. I'll tell you how this all began. I had received an email from one of my sources, who I cannot disclose this person's name at this time for their safety, and there was a link on it to an article talking about this Seagate that was being expected, that there were some strange anomalies happening and there was a lot of warship movement. And so the investigative side of me decided to look into this. So I have literally in the past month spent 12 to 18 hours a day, not just with my other research, but with checking this out, making phone calls through some reliable contacts of mine. I started gathering more and more information from separate sources. Then when I finally saw where it was happening and then realized that now the U.S., along with some other countries, have now all of a sudden targeted Yemen because of Al-Qaeda, which Al-Qaeda is nothing but a network. That's it. You know, Al-Qaeda is really just a network. It's not... It was all designed, but, you know, that's a whole nother story. So Al-Qaeda as a name is used to invoke fear and gain compliance or needs of whatever the global elite wants at that time. Yemen has now been picked because of certain what's happening now at the Stargate, which actually was officially is being said Stargate opened on January 5th of this year. the other information, so I started making phone calls. Then I started getting more emails.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying the Stargate over Gulf of Aden opened on January 5th of 2010 or 2009?
What I know for fact is that it opened up on January 5th of this year, 2010.
Okay. Now, I've heard more information about this. There is information out there saying that the Stargate was identified prior to that.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and it's been going on. Things started really getting on the internet and the news, really started a couple months ago.
Okay.
In December, it's now all over. You know, I have a whole file that I tried to get, which I will get to, of tons of information, even stuff on YouTube. And believe it, the stuff on YouTube, there's a lot of garbage on YouTube, but there's certain videos on YouTube. If you YouTube Stargate Gulf of Aden, you will see things are absolute facts.
Okay.
Based on other people that have gathered information. However, it's been known, this Stargate in the Gulf of Aden has been known for quite a while, and a lot of certain countries want to have their hand in the cookie jar. And, you know, country wants to have more of a hand in the cookie jar than the other country. This is why, in 2008, I was approached by a captain that worked for the United States Marine Corps Intelligence and had, you know, out of the blue come up to me and said, you know, we are wanting to recruit you for needs of service again. Now, at this time, I was a mess. I was having a lot going on. I still, at that point, thought I was really just crazy. And I wasn't working. I was, you know, living month to month. So, and that's exactly how they want you. And so I volunteered to go back. Yet, after I volunteered to go back, there are parts that are foggy, but I had met at Camp Pendleton with this captain, several other gentlemen who I am not quite sure who they work for, but obviously high up the food chain in the government hierarchy, and then two generals. One general now is actually working as on the Joint Chiefs of Staff in charge of all special operations for the United States military.
Are you able to name this person? Do you want to name this person or not?
I should probably wait to mention that.
Okay.
It's not that I'm afraid of mentioning it, but when we do my more extensive interview, I have already decided to release certain names.
Okay.
But I want to just really focus on the Gulf of Aden and what's going on there. But
okay.
I will be mentioning his name.
Okay.
Just not yet.
Okay.
But this is the same general that I've given you copies of the emails.
Yes.
So that's who I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that in North Africa, and it's still happening, but even back in 2008, there was massive military movement, U.S. military movement in North Africa. They were gearing up for something. That was one of the assignments that I was going to be going to look over some operations there. There was also a big movement happening in the area of the Suez Canal, which is right in that location of the Gulf of Aden. I then started meeting top black op military personnel from all over the world, a lot specifically from Australia, Australian SAS. Several of these gentlemen were definitely Australian, but were of Middle Eastern descent, who were being trained to conduct false flag operations in the Middle East. Shortly after this happened, there were some false flag events that occurred. The big one in Mumbai, which was absolutely orchestrated through our country and the UK. That I was actually told firsthand information by this general and some other people on his staff. We started developing a new team that I was placed in charge of. We started out by doing a lot of stateside training operations with local police force. Specifically, we started the groundbreaking one was with Twin Palms, out in Twin Palms by, you know, which 29 Palms Marine Base is close by, where the U.S. Marine Corps was doing, this is where they started doing the security checkpoints, which they now do a lot all up and down California, a lot, you know, in Southern California, even south of where we're at right now. Why am I explaining this? Here's why. The movements that are happening right now for military, there are actually a few secret military bases in North Africa right now and in Yemen and other areas where there are actually more U.S. military personnel than locals in the towns and villages in that area. Why are all these false flag operations happening? Okay, I'm getting to the very important point. The very important point is these small false flag operations that have been happening, the operations that I dealt with actually conducting false flag operations, even having movement of UN vehicles here in California, which I witnessed. I saw caravans, I talked to people, even the point where I was with a team walking around downtown Pasadena just before New Year's Eve, because we had received intel, which I later found out was false, but they told regular military personnel and local police that a munitions train that was coming from Barstow to Camp Pendleton, after a check in Barstow, they realized that 5,000 pounds of C4 explosive was missing off the train. Immediately, high alert was put in. Security checkpoints were placed all over the place. I found out that this was not true. I started doing some of my own digging into finding out why this was all going on. Shortly after that, I was dropped from the project. And I had to move out of my apartment. My computer was yet again shut down. My cell phone fried. I had my place was broken into when we went to do the police report. My roommate and I at the time, the police officer did not fill out a police report. I had surveillance vehicles in front of my place. I was just, the heat was getting on. I actually had to put my stuff in storage and stay on the couch with a friend of mine.
This was a year ago, is that right?
This occurred all in March of last year, yes.
Okay.
Now, what does this all gear up to? This all gears up to, based on my experience, and yes, I guess you could say based on some certain psychic ability that I have that I wasn't necessarily born with, but with things that I will get into in the interview, it was brought out in me through techniques that they have, the Project Talent has learned to really perfect. There's going to be a major false flag operation happening this year. I don't exactly know when, but I know it's going to happen. And there are going to be, people are going to see a lot more military personnel from other countries, the American police force. There's going to be a lot more roadblocks, road checks.
So you're saying a false flag operation here in America, or are you saying in the Gulf of Aden? Because somehow
both.
There's a link up. Okay.
And here's why. It's not just going to be the U.S. This is going to be happening in certain countries where it needs to happen. It's going to invoke a new war. They've been taught, even Obama has spoken about this, new war on Al-Qaeda in Yemen. Why did they do this? The same reason that they did in Afghanistan. Afghanistan was not a war against terrorism. It was a war to gain more control in Afghanistan, because Afghanistan does have certain entrances to deep underground facilities.
Really?
That's why Russia was after them for 10 years.
Okay, so you're saying that it's not the opium trade that has people in Afghanistan, which is what I think
absolutely
most people
not
think.
No, it's not okay. The opium. However, what a lot of people don't know is the CIA still, since Vietnam, probably even before that, have always had black operations of trafficking drugs, which was what Air America was in Vietnam when they were running operations in Cambodia and Laos.
Right.
So, yes, I mean, they got to make a profit, you know. War is not just intent, war is profit. That's why, you know, we have the bankers that are part of, you know, the Bilderberg Group and the Bohemian Grove and other societies, Club of Rome and whatnot. this false flag operation is going to evoke a new war on terrorism in Yemen. It's going to happen. We're on the brink. There's major military movement. There are military train camps being set up in Yemen right now by our government that are training the Yemen military to go after the terrorist movement there. It's even been said on the news, and you can find this online, that they're making claims that Al-Qaeda has now built a larger base in Yemen that exists in Afghanistan or Pakistan. Absolute garbage.
Okay. So as far as Yemen and the Gulf of Aden, how do these work together? In other words, what is the countries bordering the Gulf of Aden?
Yes.
So is that why it's being targeted specifically, because the Stargate is in, you know, in the over the water?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yemen is ground zero.
Okay. And let's talk about, if you know this or you have a theory, on what's going on with that Stargate. Do you have any idea?
All I can give you now is theory. But I encourage everybody that's going to see this to do your own research. Everything I tell you, do your own research, because, you know, if you don't question, you don't research, you're not learning and you're not waking up. Based on my experience with a project that I was a part of that, again, we will discuss in my full interview, I have two theories. Okay, one theory is that there are extraterrestrial beings that no doubt are opening, or just now really coming about doing something with the Stargate for a definite purpose. Now, are these extraterrestrials friendly or are they unfriendly? It could be two possibilities. I do not know yet, but I am working on to finding out through some very reliable contacts. If they are indeed friendly, then they have opened it up, because we are coming to a time in our world. 2012 is not the end, but I definitely believe that big things are going to be happening, and we do have friendly extraterrestrials that want to see us really become the world we're supposed to be. They're not going to come in and rescue us, but they definitely do things to help assist us move along. Are these the extraterrestrials that decided to open up the Stargate? And if they are, is the military and the global elite going to do everything they can to prevent this from happening so that they can continue their agenda, that the agenda that they have been told they have to accomplish within a certain allotted time, or certain beings are going to step in? That's absolute.
And that's the negative agenda that they are trying to roll out. In other words, that certain negative beings, negatively oriented beings, in other words, service to self, are going to step in if the global elite are unable to handle this themselves.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, very interesting.
Now, but the other side of it is that, is this Stargate do the unfriendly extraterrestrials, are they running the show with this Stargate, and the military is there as really the servants, because that's really what the global elite are. They're not in power, people. They are serving someone else. Something else, or whatever you want to classify them as.
Okay. And what you're saying in terms of the Gulf of Aden, are you saying that that Stargate could be letting in, perhaps? In other words, it could be incoming, could be outgoing, could be going both ways. Okay, but what the build-up militarily there will be, not only to have control over the Stargate on the one hand, but on the other hand, to make sure, like if it was a negative purpose, there could be negative ETs coming through.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But, you know, with underwater bases, every single underwater base, there is at least some presence of extraterrestrials there. But I will tell you, none of them are friendly.
Yeah, none right. If they're working with the military, I think it's a sort of a no-brainer.
And they're really running the show, but see, they're clever. They're able to calculate and do things in such a way to where the powers that be think that they're, you know, have control, but they don't. With this specific underwater base off the coast in the Gulf of Aden, I cannot say for a fact who is absolutely running the show. All I can do is give my theory based on my absolute direct experience with bases, with being in very high up in black projects of Project Talent, knowing of and actually assisting in some projects with Project Stargate and another project which I will be talking about. And I'll just go and say it now, Project Seagate.
Okay. Do you feel that what's going on in the Gulf of Aden, are you saying it's Aden? How do you know how to pronounce it, actually?
I believe it's Aden.
Okay.
But I could be saying it wrong. If I am, please excuse me, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But are you saying what's going on there may be part of an operation which you know of as Project Seagate?
No, I believe, well, I don't want to speculate because I don't like doing that.
Uh-huh.
It's possible, but every information that's been given to me is labeled as a Stargate. However, people have to be very careful because from my knowledge, and from things that I'm starting to remember, as far as I know, there is only one location for Project Seagate in the entire world. Could I be wrong? Was there information that even I wasn't privy to? It's possible, but I doubt it.
And that's about an underwater base that's located in Puerto Rico area?
Yes, it's in the area of Puerto Rico.
Okay. And that's the one you have recovered memories about?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever been to the Gulf of Aden?
Not that I recall.
Okay.
If I have, I don't remember, but you know, with all the information, everything that I've shared with you on the many times that we've talked and gone together, I probably have maybe, if I really sat down and think, I probably have regained maybe, 40% of my memories. Why this is happening with me at such a young age, I don't know. Because as you know from your experience with others, usually people are much older. But through some other contacts, I have been told, it's a little hard for me to swallow, but I've been told that there is a very specific reason why I specifically have been regaining these memories. And it's not for a bad purpose, it's for a good purpose. Unfortunately, there are times when I'm still triggered and I'm taken elsewhere to do things, as recently as just a couple months ago, where I have 2 days I cannot account for.
Okay. So we've got a Stargate in Gulf of Aden. We've got false flag operations. We just had one in mm-hmm. in which, whatever they call the underwear bomber or whatever.
Yeah.
In which he was basically let on a plane without a passport. Now, is this part of that operation, because it seems like it's like the opening act in a certain sense?
It is, because there has been recent information saying that not only him, but the shooter in Fort Hood, now all of a sudden this information is coming out that they both had connections with terrorists, with Al-Qaeda, in Yemen.
Okay.
And it's just popped up within the past week, if I remember right. How convenient.
Okay, so we have a major operation happening in Yemen right now. What about, are you, like, is there any other extenuating circumstance or any involvement? Because you said there's a lot of ships in that area. We've got the water sort of churning under some electromagnetic anomaly going on.
Yes.
What's going on between the powers that be that you know of in terms of the ships? Are you in touch with, for example, any, crew or military personnel in regard to any
yes,
of that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do you want to
several
talk
well,
about?
They, even the Coast Guard, it's not just U.S. Navy, there are U.S. Coast Guard ships, cutters, as they're called in the Coast Guard, that are there. The people that I'm talking to, that I worked with on the side of just being regular petty officer McCollum in the Coast Guard. So they are not fully aware, but they have contacted me and said, you know, Aaron, something weird is going on, and I can't quite place it, and they've never seen anything like it. I have a few other friends of mine that are actually in Coast Guard Intelligence that have contacted me because they are aware of what I, this kind of campaign that I'm doing, trying, you know, making amends for what I was part of. So there is big movement there, absolute. The contacts that I've spoken to said that even they, when questioned about it, they're told that it is strictly for enforcing to the anti-piracy and to help with escorting movements through the Suez Canal. Because apparently the Suez Canal is so backed up with ship transports. I have never, ever heard of there being a problem with backed up ships going through the Suez Canal. Never heard that.
Okay, so if they're going through the Suez Canal, where would they be headed? I mean, are there? There's got to be more than one destination for those ships, right, in theory?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, for example...
Well, I mean, the Suez Canal is a main shipping canal.
So they could be just going through to bound for other areas, right?
Oh, yes.
No, not just all headed for Yemen.
No, not at all. I mean, because if they did that, it would raise too much suspicion. So what they do is they will indeed keep operations normal.
Uh-huh.
Container ships, oil ships will still be allowed to go through it. It's just, and this, the reason they're able to do it so well is because the location of the Stargate in the Gulf of Aden is kind of in the off-beaten path. It's not actually directly in the channel.
Uh-huh. Right. But as far as, you know, you said that you have information, and I don't know if this is public information, that there are ships from other countries. In other words, I think you mentioned Japan and China and Russia.
It is public information.
Okay.
There are European Union ships, NATO ships,
okay,
from Japan, Russia, Germany, the UK, United States, Australia, and the list goes on and on. And yes, it is public information they're talking about right now. It will be included. I have a specific information that when I give it to you so that you can, you know, look through your own, it's absolute. This is out there. Get on your computer, Google Gulf of Aden, Google Gulf of Aden Stargate, Google War on Yemen. You Google any of those things and you will get pages and pages of not just articles, but of YouTube videos and other pieces of information. People need to look at this because with that, once you start digging, it's amazing. Not surprising to me, but it'll be amazing to people that they will realize that you will see an article and it's directly tied to the label of false flag war. We are going to be moving massive troops into Yemen. Yemen is the next battleground, and it's going to happen this year. As far as my knowledge and my intuition and everything else that I've gathered, it's going to happen this year. If it doesn't happen this year, and if I'm wrong, good. I hope that my intuition's wrong, but unfortunately, my little gut feeling that I get is 99% right, and sometimes I actually get angry at myself when I'm right about things because I don't want to see these things happen. So if year 2010 goes on and we don't go into a police state or we don't have more false flags in the country, if this... what I believe is going to be a terrible war happening in Yemen, if that does not occur, then good. But everything that I've gathered, all my information, my contacts have told me otherwise.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I know you have some interesting abilities associated with water. Isn't that right? And I remember that dolphins have been used by the military to actually perform feats and to actually do, you know, operations basically.
Oh, yes.
Over by Saudi Arabia and you know, over in that area. So I'm thinking that with this, what's going on in the Gulf of Aden, basically there has to be something involving dolphins and possibly other, you know, sea animals like whales. But I'm just curious, has there been any information about how about the dolphins in that area or anything else?
The only information that I have for a fact, which is public information, is that, you know, dolphins are being used in all the waters around the Middle East for reconnaissance missions. They actually have dolphins that are trained that have actual surveillance equipment that are attached to them for, you know, looking for underwater mines, looking for bombs under piers, even under ships, oil rigs, and even information gathering. They have dolphins that are set up with certain information sound recording equipment that actually can record sound on land that travels via through the water, because sound travels at a much greater distance and can keep its real concentrated frequency much longer underwater than it can in open air. Do I have any information that dolphins are specifically being used in the Gulf of Aden for whatever intents and purposes with this Stargate? No, I don't. But based on my direct work with dolphins, with Project Seagate, I would not be surprised, because dolphins have been discovered because of their frequencies, because of other abilities that dolphins have that people are not aware of. They discovered a while ago, you know, however long, at least I know for at least 20 or maybe even 30 years, that dolphins directly have, because of their frequency, because of what they can do, are almost used as a medium for travel via the Seagate.
What do you mean by that? Travel. Are you talking about time travel?
I'm talking about not just time travel. I'm talking about traveling to other locations in the universe.
Okay, and how are dolphins used in that regard?
It was found that, well, with the Seagate, everything is done, frequencies which are used, which they found, frequencies are used to actually put you on the molecular level in a different state. This way your body can actually handle traveling great distances.
Okay, I know what you mean. You mean, in other words, if humans are put in contact with dolphins and do what's called in training,
yes,
they get aligned on the same frequency as a dolphin, and that heightens the human awareness such
absolutely
that if you then... I'm just, you know, I'm extrapolating here, but because I've swam with dolphins and I know this happened to me, I'm guessing that's kind of what you mean.
You're on the right track, yes. One of the things that they did that I was a part of was called, let me remember what it was, psychic echolocation, what's the word I'm looking for? This always happens when I start talking about this. I'm sorry. Sometimes my mind goes blank. What they discovered, and it can't just be any human. It has to be people that have received certain training, mainly people that have some amount of psychic ability. They've learned that they could put a person in with these dolphins, and actually it would cause deep molecular and psychic vibrations to happen where the dolphin is almost used, it is used as a medium, and this person becomes a conductor, and they coexist in this way so that it really heightens the senses of the psyche of a person.
Right. And so then what would happen? I mean, what would be, I mean, this is, I guess we're kind of going off into the area of speculation, although it occurs to me that perhaps this is part of your buried memories.
This is the thing that the subject that I myself have been working the most intensely on. The whole thing with the Gulf of Aden just kind of fell into my lap through the people I know, and then taking it back to the false flag operations that I'd helped orchestrate from July of 2008 till the beginning of March of 2009. Also meeting individuals that were black ops that had been really in a way, blackmailed to be in this country to do false flag operations, specifically military personnel from other countries that had a middle, that were of Middle Eastern descent. They didn't care if they were, you know, if their family had originally come from Iraq or Pakistan or India, you know, it didn't matter. As long as they had the training.
And they looked the part.
And they looked the part.
Is the point. Okay. Yes. So you were involved in these so-called false flag operations. Can you describe a false flag operation that you were a part of?
Yes, I can. Okay. Well, the one of the false flag operations was where the 5,000 pounds of C4 mysteriously disappeared from a munitions train heading to Camp Pendleton. After that, Twin Palms Police Force started working with the Marine Corps. I mean, a bunch of military vehicles, specifically Humvees, from their motor pool were being taken, but were not being signed out. But then when certain individuals were even asking, even when I asked about it, you know, don't question us, you know. And Twin Palms was doing random DUI checks. Now, if people know this, the military are not allowed to do in-country security checkpoints, DUI checkpoints, anything involved with the police. That's what the police are for. When that begins to happen, that is a preemptive strike to implement police state nationwide. Absolutely. Then there were even a bigger military presence that was happening, of all places, in Pasadena. This doesn't surprise me because Pasadena is really a trifecta of some very deep military operations. Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, Parsons Corporation. I encourage people who are going to see this, look into the history of the Parsons Corporation in Pasadena, and you will be disgusted with what they have been a part of, especially recently with putting up certain kinds of hospitals in Iraq. And then, of course, I mean, I can really get into things that, like, Jordan Maxwell and I have talked about as far as the OTO, which, you know, the headquarters of the OTO in North America is in Pasadena.
Right.
You know, so where I live in Pasadena, I'm surrounded by some really awful things.
So we're talking about a hotbed of the Illuminati, but we're also talking about a military presence.
Yes. In fact, specifically I want to say it was December 28th, if I'm completely accurate, December 28th of 2008, there was a big military movement that happened straight downtown Pasadena. Hundreds of people witnessed it. Never made the news. It was a convoy of about 24 vehicles. We're talking Humvees, armored personnel carrier, chemical trucks, tankers, deuce and halves, which are the big, huge trucks you usually see with the canopies over them. They were all white. They were what I have been a part of. They were absolute UN vehicles.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds like UN.
But they didn't have UN marked on them. They didn't even have license plates.
I see.
They moved through Pasadena and moved to a different location. On that same day, I was in Pasadena with a team of plain clothed, not just local police, but Marine Corps, armed, walking the streets in communication with everybody else while this was happening. It was not necessarily a false flag operation. More often than not, is a terrorist attack, like 9/11.
So what was going on with the white caravan was more of a preparation?
Is that the idea? It was a false flag training operation.
I see.
In preparation for an actual false flag. Because even, you know, you have war games. The military does war games. What are war games? War games are training for actual war. Well, this is kind of a war game, but it's a false flag game, training operation.
Okay,
a drill.
And when we say false flag, what we're talking about is something where a terrorist event will happen where actually the terrorist is actually working for, and the operation, it is an op, and it is conducted by, in essence, the in-country personnel, in other words,
Oh, yes.
The United States, the government, the agencies, or the black government, you know, the black
Absolutely.
Secret projects.
And, you know, yes, that's the biggest thing that people need to understand. When it's a false flag operation that happens in country, the people that are in charge of the black operations that happen with that country, they're the ones who have orchestrated it. The bombings that happened in the subways in England, that was a England false flag operation. The bombings that happened in Spain.
Right. What about that?
False flag.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it all related to what? Taliban and Al-Qaeda. What's truly Taliban and Al-Qaeda? It is a network to allow false flag operations to happen. You had mentioned about, you know, the people that are used, that are aware of it. People have to understand that more often than not, the people that are used have been mind-controlled. They have been taken, they have been mind-controlled, and they're doing it because they are under another state of mind. The one that happened on Christmas Day, he says that, you know, he had, all of a sudden, there was reports that he was almost in a trance when it occurred, and afterward, and that he has no recollection.
Who are you talking about?
The gentleman, I don't remember his name, the actual person, the underwear bomber, as they're labeling him.
Oh, okay, yes.
There was reports that he was in a trance. There's even a person that's come out now, a husband and wife that were on the plane.
Sure.
They were on the news saying that they had contacted the FBI because this tall, well-dressed, wealthy-looking man of Indian or, you know, descent had taken this kid, and actually they witnessed him saying he doesn't have a passport, but he's from, you know, I think it was Nigeria, and we do this all the time there. Yeah, they actually quote, we do this all the time there, and they let him through.
Okay.
You know, people need to be aware that that's happening and need to question why.
Okay, so, but you yourself, you're saying over a year ago, you saw convoys and so on going on here in California, like a buildup of military even here. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
There's been a huge buildup of military in Southern California.
Do you have any idea why?
There's a lot of military bases in California. California is very much a key region for military movement. I myself have been to two underground bases in California. One that's in the San Diego area, and another one that's in the San Francisco Bay, which is known as a munitions naval weapon base that has a skeleton crew. Probably a lot of people don't know about it. It is located in the San Francisco Bay Area. And all you can see from the water are three very large U-shaped piers where trains can go on. There's a lot more to that base than what people see. I mean, they have a huge facility under it. It's massive.
Okay, and have you been there, or were you told about this?
No, I've been there.
Oh, okay.
I was there. Okay. I was there in 2000, 2001, and then in the first part 2002 before I went to become part of the project in the Caribbean.
Okay. Okay. So I guess what I want to do here is just make sure that we've gotten the information that you wanted to get out there specifically, you know, around the Gulf of Aden.
Okay, so just to clarify why I was coming out right now, you and I spoke, this had to get out now because time is of the essence. False flag operations are going to be happening more, not just in the United States, but in other countries that are having direct involvement with the Gulf of Aden and Yemen. I will not be surprised if we will see some more bombings or terrorist attacks happen in places like in Yemen itself. It's going to happen in Yemen because they need that to get the masses to support what they're doing so that there isn't questioning. There's going to be more false flag operations happening here in the country. They could be as small as more military checkpoints, or they could be as big as another actual attack attempt. It's going to happen. This is all happening to build up justification, like what happened with 9/11. They need this justification so people don't question, so you continue to be sheep. So that they can finally, you know, go to war. The new war on terrorism, Yemen is ground zero for that. Why is this happening? It's happening because of this Stargate that's just off the coast of Yemen in the Gulf of Aden. Why they're doing this? I give them my two theories. Theory one, we have friendly extraterrestrials that have opened it for a reason. What that reason is yet, I do not know. But this will not be the last I'm working on. You know, I'm not stopping after this. I'm going to be digging very deep. I'm going to be continuing working on this. And as I get new information, you'll be getting the information, everything I get, Carrie. Is this friendly ETs have opened up for some reason? That could be. And it could be that now we have the major, really the major heavy hitter countries from all over the world who have brought in warships, not cargo ships, but warships by the masses that are literally in this giant circle. They have created this perimeter. They've even, you know, why are there, is there scientific research there where a certain doctor who attempted suicide, oh yes, that worked directly for this research company, said the world needs to know, and then all of a sudden, unexplainably went crazy and tried to kill herself, who worked for a company that the information has gotten out that are doing research on combining alien and human DNA.
Okay. Now I have to tell you that last night we had contact with a whistleblower. And this is just one of those synchronicities that goes on in, you know, with Project Camelot. Today we were having this interview with you. This was planned ahead. And last night, inadvertently, we got in touch with a whistleblower who has worked for the military, actually Space Command, and was talking about the Gulf of Aden. And I didn't get all the information, even though we talked for like 6 hours, and we will release that pretty soon, that interview. But he was saying, he was talking about synthetic beings, synthetic robots for all intents and purposes. Project Camelot was in touch with a secret source last night who was talking about synthetic beings and basically, I guess, some form of biological robot, I guess, that are being created, and some which may be also coming here, in other words. And so I am wondering whether or not the Gulf of Aden is specifically connected with a possible invasion of these synthetic beings. Is there anything that, you know, any hookup that you know of in this regard?
There has been talk about it amongst me and some other people that I've been direct contact with that were part of multiple projects under MKUltra. That's something that we've discussed, but we weren't sure if we really wanted to go public with that just yet, because, you know, what I'm saying already and what people are going to say is going to invoke fear. But with fear can build strength, and using that fear, turn it around to really find out what's going on. But yes, okay. It's something that we have talked about, that it indeed is being used to bring in synthetic beings that were made off planet.
Okay.
Now, I'm just curious. Now I've got a question for you. I'm going to turn around and ask you a question. Your contact last night, when he was talking about these synthetic beings that are being created on planet, I'm curious if he's referring to the Omega program.
Okay, he didn't name that program. He simply was referring to both aspects. In other words,
okay. The
one which is that the military in China, as well as the U.S., has been creating these beings, and that there is also... And it was really interesting, and obviously we're going to be releasing the interview shortly, but he was talking about these beings that were created in association on Atlantis, who were then taken off planet to another planet and allowed to develop. Basically, they developed themselves. However, they're synthetic, for all intents and purposes, they don't have a soul. And that they are now, for some reason, returning to our planet. And that they are, let's say, not happy. And they are also, and this is the testimony from our witness. So it just dovetails in a very interesting way. Now, this person was not able to say whether they had arrived yet. I think that he was indicating that they had not, but I'd have to go back over the transcript to verify that.
From the information that I've been able to gather, my intuition says that they are currently arriving because of the huge electric magnetic anomaly that happened specifically on January 5th of this year, 2010.
Okay, are you talking about the blue spiral over Norway?
There has been speculation that that blue spiral and other spirals have been showing up over Norway. Could that be related to this? It could be. I don't have enough information to say yes or no. I would not be surprised, though. If in some way it has direct relation to it, I would not be surprised. But I don't want to say absolute.
Okay.
I'll allow people to do their own research, and I'm going to continue to do my research. It's interesting what you just mentioned about the soulless beings, because the project that I was mainly a part of, the project that I was in reality, from the time I was a child, was prepared for. And that's, again, we will get into that on the next interview. Project Seagate. Project Seagate was a major project with a huge underground base location. And they were working on many different sub-projects. Project Seagate is almost like a sub-version of MKUltra. Project Seagate, one location, but had many sub-projects. Everything from the Human Dolphin Super Soldier program to an Omega program where they were making soulless beings for remote viewing and actual, via the Seagate, being able to put people there. And yes, this is real people, their astral self, their energy, their soul, into one of these robots for covert operations so that if the body gets killed, they are able to extract and put it in. I have people that I know that this has happened to, and we have absolute evidence of this happening.
So this is a lot like Avatar, basically. You're talking about military personnel that basically they're going in inhabiting these robotic beings.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
And also they found that it was easier to have this for traveling for operations through
off
the Seagate off planet. My specific role, which I don't want to get into right now because, it's very complicated, but I will say that my involvement with Project Seagate was very high up, very in depth, and I've been to some interesting locations.
Okay. Do you think that you yourself were doing some of this, having your essence, in essence, go into one of these robotic beings and travel, or is your experience different than that?
I worked with people that did that, but because of my specific training, as far as alterations that were done to my body, even as a young child, some memories are coming back that even my parents have no recollection of. I was able to physically be relocated because of what was done to me. And there's another person that you were in contact with who was able to do the same thing, who actually was a person I worked with closely that was there.
Okay.
And this person who, when the time comes, this person will be talking to you.
Sure.
Someone you've already talked to will be speaking of the Project Seagate as well.
Okay, and you have some unique abilities in terms of water. Is there a thought that you yourself were, I don't know, your DNA was combined with, for example, a dolphin? Is that possible?
I'm learning new things about myself almost every day. With me, anything is really possible because I've been told some things by reliable sources that have completely blown me away. And in fact, I'm still having a hard time. I mean, I accept it. I know it's true, but it's very hard to deal with because, I mean, my body has been through a living hell. I had some questionable experimentations that were done to me as a child that I absolutely remember. Well, I'll just say this. The reason why I was... everything began for me from the time I was 3 years old. I have an absolute memory that I've been able to get confirmed from family where I was taken to a facility by a certain relative. I will mention that when I do my full interview, who I do not have contact with, was not allowed to have contact with when I was 3 years old. And I was thrown into a pool, and they induced me to drown. I remember laying then on a slab next to this pool, throwing up and coughing up water, and then seeing these men around me and saying, "We have one." I remember hearing that. This is not a dream. This is not fantasy. This is absolute. I still wake up with having night terrors and flashbacks about this. I've always been able to hold my breath for a long time without having to do the hyperventilating. I've always had a very interesting relationship with water. I have several people that you know that can absolutely, with complete honesty, tell you of accounts that they've witnessed of things that have happened to me with water. I have been told not to do any kind of soaking in water because of something which I will reveal in the next interview, which could happen.
Okay. So let me... rather than go down that road, since this interview is about another matter,
yes.
Let's go back to the Gulf of Aden and talk about the false flag subject in terms of what specifically, if anything, has been left out of this interview so far, because I think we could wrap this up as it is.
Yes.
I can't think of any particular areas that we might not have covered, but then maybe something might occur to you. So I want to make sure that we've covered this topic, that you've gotten out the word about what you think is coming in regard to the buildup of the military there. Any other random thoughts that or information, pieces of information that you might have that would be pertinent for the public to be aware of here?
Don't travel to the Middle East this year. Do not travel there. Do not go there because they do not care about collateral damage. They proved that with 9/11. They proved that with the Oklahoma bombing. They proved that on December 25th. They proved that at Fort Hood. They do not care. You are an expendable piece of property to the global elite, to Mark Ultra, to governments all around the world. I have just a really deep, sinking, dark feeling that there's going to be a lot of death. I've been seeing death. I've been having visions of some really horrible scenarios that could definitely are possible, not just in the Middle East, specifically Yemen, but in country. Do your research. Everything that I have said in this interview and that Carrie has said, please, you know, I mean, what I'm telling you is absolute, and I've also specified what was theory, what was my intuition, and I've even labeled some sources where I gathered information. Everybody that sees this interview, I encourage you to do the same. Don't just take my word for it. Because if you just take my word for it, you're doing the same as watching TV or watching the movies and taking their word for it. You need to do the research on your own, because that will allow you to open your mind and really give you self-empowerment. The greatest gift humanity was ever given was free will, and as long as you allow your free will to keep working, you will open up to what's occurring. False flags are going to be happening more, based on my intuition and my intelligence that I have gathered. Something else big is going to happen in the United States, and it's all amounting, it's all being done to invoke this war on terror in Yemen for movement with the Seagate. Is it going to be to help escort these beings from off planet, or are these, you know, friendly beings are trying to do something, and we're already in a galactic war that's happening now. Believe it or not, it's happening. But with that war, there are many different battles occurring, and this, we are on the brink of a new battle. This is definitely, I have no doubt about that. This is going to be another battle of the galactic war. And what people need to realize is that this planet is a war prize. It always has been. There's always been conflict for this planet, and there are many reasons which I could get into, but God, you know, that would go on and on and on. Is there any other information that I can think of that people need to know about? Not at this time. Just know, specifically, you will find that the major countries that have warships, and I want to emphasize, these are warships, everybody. The United Kingdom, Russia, China, Japan, Germany, NATO, the UN, and the now group mercenary group Z, which is more commonly known as Blackwater. There are scientific research corporations there right now under multinational contract doing heavy research on alien human DNA. Ask yourself why. Ask yourself, why was there a doctor that worked for this company that unexplainably said, the Earth, the people of the world have to be notified? It's quoted in an article that I found, and attempted suicide because she knew something, she was part of something, she had her own self-awakening, and the information she has was so great, so overwhelming, that she tried to kill herself. But did she really try to kill herself, or was this a mind-controlled, you know, attempt to kill herself? Three of the people that I was in contact with, that I was working with, when I, myself, was helping orchestrate false flag events in 2008 and in the beginning of 2009, unexpectedly disappeared when they themselves became more self-aware and realized what they were doing was wrong. I have emails from certain personnel that contacted me and said that they were under house arrest in 29 Palms. Right after this, I need to say this because this shows the level of seriousness that this is at. The person that I was in contact with, Captain Scott Seidner, I will say his name because he has disappeared. The place that he lived at, which was not too far from where I was living, I went to where he was living because I lost communication. He'd given me a document that actually talks about the preparation, a document that was drafted in, I believe, in 2000 for the agenda going all the way up to 2015. Document that was never supposed to leave the hands of certain personnel. I have 22 pages of that document that I have shared with you, Gary. I'm getting off track. This person, Scott Seidner, Captain Scott Seidner, who giving me this information, started realizing things were wrong, up and disappeared. Where he lived, I went and talked to the manager. They would not tell me, oh, we had no Scott Seidner living here. His phone became disconnected. The people I was in contact with were disappearing left and right. I myself became under heavy surveillance, even had an attempt on my life. Yes, that did happen last year, where on one occasion where I first thought it was an accident until I got more information that no, it was not necessarily an attempt on my life, but it was what they do a lot, which they're doing with a lot of people I'm in contact with. It was a scare tactic. They're trying to shut me up. I just got absolute confirmation, and you know, I'd like to emphasize on that absolute confirmation, because that's what I have to have before I will really say indefinite. The conference that, you know, unfortunately is having so many complications, the MK Ultra Mind Control Conference, I received an anonymous tip, and then through context of mine saying that there was going to be an attempt on me at the conference, because they know that I'm getting ready to whistleblow a project that is the absolute most secret kept undercover project in the world, and that is Project Seagate.
Okay, so thank you very much, Aaron McCullum, and I assume that you want this video to go out as is.
Yes.
In other words, we can talk about making it only audio. We can talk about possibly putting it into just a transcript, a written transcript, if you at a later date decide to do so. But at this moment, is it your feeling that you want this to go on the internet as is?
If I am going to really come out as a credible witness, I think that's what you're really calling them now, not whistleblower, using the term witness, or...
Both.
Whistle, okay, if I'm going to be an actual, because this interview is going to be followed up with the full interview of how I came to be who I am now, and my whole history of the training I got as a kid. I'm going to be blowing something wide open that you and I have talked about. If I am going to have credibility, if I'm going to have people really see me, they need to see me as a person. They need to know. And yes, you know, I have the tattoos and the earrings, but there's a reason, which I'll be explaining why I look the way I do now. But if I am going to be a legitimate, real person, and also because there's people that I'm in contact with that I notified that I was going to be doing this, and you and I talked about it, to see my face, see that, yes, I am real. I am not some man behind the Iron Curtain. I'm not some deep throat in a parking garage. They need to see it as a whole.
Okay.
They need to see my face. For me, eye contact, seeing the person is very much, you know, a lot more empowering.
Okay.
And, you know, my life has already been threatened and attempts have been made. You know, I have scars from knife wounds from almost getting killed.
Okay.
But, you know, being who I am, I lack the emotion of fear. And I'm not afraid. And I need to do this.
Okay, thank you very much. I also just, as a caveat, want to say here that isn't it true that your connection with Camelot, and specifically with Duncan O'Finian, is has been instrumental in you getting in touch with some of this?
Yes. When a friend of mine first introduced me to Project Camelot, I was very interested because I was starting to have some memories come back. And then this friend of mine showed me the Duncan O'Finian and the Dave Corso interview, and it took everything not to break down and cry, because there was something, I couldn't remember, but when I saw Duncan, when I saw Dave, there was something inside that was just feeding me, and I couldn't figure out what. And then when Duncan and Dave mentioned St. Thomas, the U.S. Virgin Islands, my head literally hurt. It was like I was walking in this hallway and all these doors opened. And I can tell you, and I will be saying this in my interview, that Duncan and Dave have memory lapses of what happened in St. Thomas. I will be able to tell you, and I've talked to Duncan and Dave about this, what happened. Yes, Dave and Duncan and I did in fact do operations together. We have confirmed it. We know it. And even another soon-to-be whistleblower was directly involved with Project Seagate with me. Me contacting you, seeing this, was not a coincidence. There's no such thing as a coincidence. This was all the way it was supposed to be. And, you know, I owe a big thank you to you for, you know, bringing me to the conference. And it was really a reunion between Duncan, Dave, and the other friend who I promised I wouldn't say this person's name. You know, I'll leave that up to this person.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that, you know, we gave kind of a thank you or a nod of the head to Duncan O'Finnian and Dave Corso.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, Dave and I, we see each other all the time. I've been regularly going to his place, and Duncan's been really busy, but there were a couple times after the conference when I was able to speak with him and actually see him when he was in L.A. filming the Manchurian Candidate. By the way, I want to pitch that. If you haven't seen what's titled as the Manchurian Candidate episode of Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, it's on True TV. You can find it on YouTube now. An absolute must. It was so well done. I was so impressed with how well it was done. So that's my little pitch for that. Just helping out my friends Dave and Duncan, who are also working hard to get the word out.
Okay. Thank you very much. And today is January 9th.
Yes, it is.
2010.
It's Dave Corso's birthday today.
There you go.
I sent him a birthday card.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.